in the studio with me now. We've got Steve Polston and Pam Brooks. These two know all about the Panhandling Jobs Initiative, which we've got a van that goes around, and if you want work instead of panhandling, they'll provide it on designated days. And these two join me in the studio right now. Hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
You're doing great, Lee. Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. I appreciate it, because we got a lot of questions. When this arose, first of all, the problem, let me ask you two this. I mean, has it subsided to some degree? This is all anecdotal on my part, but it seems as if we don't have as many of these guys out there. Am I reading that correctly?
I think you are. I think the amount of number of panhandlers has gone down. We estimated there may have been upwards of 100 on the street at one time back in the early spring, and now it looks like we're down. We don't have an exact count on that, but just a fair way figure is about 20 or less at one time now. So we dropped that far.
Do we have any theories on as to why that is?
I believe it's the same thing that we saw in Albuquerque. We went out and evaluated this program, this van jobs program. I was originally a skeptic, but I became a believer out there, and what they were doing at Albuquerque is we met with the mayor for over an hour, and it was his idea. Now this spread to 14 cities around the country. We're the 14th one. And so we've come back, and we still got a long way to go, but I think we're seeing progress, and I think we have validated the Albuquerque approach here in Lexington.
Well, I don't. It's one of these problems I don't think you could ever get totally rid of. I mean, it's just not the way it's going to work with humanity. There's always going to be somebody who wants to attempt this. But nonetheless, it certainly is starting to subside to some degree. I mean, I think part of it, I'll let you guys tell me what you think, is the messaging on telling the public, you know, stop giving them money. There are systems in place to help these people if they want it. You giving them money isn't helping.
Right. The message we're trying to say to the public is basically stop enabling and start empowering these people. A number of these people have underlying issues. They may have addictions and other problems. And if you're just giving them money, it's pretty much a guarantee that that's going to help feed their addiction and unhealthy habit. Now, this is an opportunity for them to go out to earn an honest day's wage through an honest day's work. And hopefully, knowing that they've had to work for that money, that will change their mentality on how they're going to spend their money. It's also a starting place to open the door. So if any of these other people, as we said, have these underlying issues or addictions, it can open a door, it can build rapport, so hopefully lead to other efforts to help them with these other issues.
That's how I got this job. Pam picked me up in a van and dropped me off here. Now, how does this work logistically, though, guys? What do we do? So how often do you go out? What's the capacity? What is the job site? What is the requirement? So walk me through that.
All right. So we started, like Albuquerque, we started small. And I would point out there are still locations in the city where there's panhandling.
Yeah.
But downtown, by our measure, it's gone down. There's still panhandlers on the outer loop.
Yeah.
That we haven't been able to reach because we started small. We go out 2 days a week. We've got Tuesdays and Thursdays. We have 13 locations, Lee, that the police department has indicated is where they have seen the panhandling in the past. So we circulate in those 13 locations, mostly downtown, but now moving out into the city. So we're doing it 2 days a week. We'll eventually go to five if we copy Albuquerque. I think we will. And if our success mirrors their success, I think it will. So we'll go to 5 days a week. Then we'll go to two vans. And then after that, we'll see how far this takes us.
Okay. So and the van has the capacity of what? I mean, how many guys can you get?
We get 10 people in the van.
Uh-huh.
So we go out of the morning. We leave at 8:30. We start hitting these 13 locations till we get the van full. And then we go to a job site that is provided by the city. So far it's been mostly clearing trash and litter from the streets.
Mm-hmm.
We've got probably in the neighborhood of 100 bags of trash that these people have picked up. Surprisingly, or surprised me at least, they work hard. We've only had one person out of approximately 100 that didn't work, and we had to ask them not to come back. So on the whole, they work hard, and they're proud of what they do, and you can see their self-esteem rise as they do work versus just out shaking their tin cup and begging on the street.
Is there an identifiable difference between someone who, as far as you guys can tell, because, I mean, you're out there with them, who is fallen on hard times and is just really scrambling to try to find a way to get sustenance and or maybe find a way back to a normal life, as opposed to someone who's just really trying to scam folks, has found themselves in part of a group that is organized, and they're, because we've seen that, we've witnessed it, where they're dropped off and they work in tandem. I mean, can you guys recognize that, or are your people starting to understand who they are and what the difference is?
Well, we put people on the van. The driver is our supervisor, and we have a security guy on there. And they were put there in part because they know the homeless population, yeah, and they know the panhandlers. So they're pretty effective in looking at and recognizing people that are, you know, the two categories you talked about, people that earnestly would like to have some money for legitimate reasons, and versus those that are strictly, many of them out of town, come here to just to, as a con and a scam. We can recognize those. We don't get 100%, but we've got a high batting average.
I would imagine those folks aren't really interested in the van. They're not wanting to work.
Those are the ones that we think have left the streets.
Yeah.
We think we do anecdotal surveys all the time. I do that. I ask the panhandlers, you know, where are all these people gone? And their answer is, well, that mainly is the ones that didn't want to work to start with, and they didn't want to be confronted with a job. So right, they went somewhere right else. We've had calls from other counties and other cities saying, why are you sending us all these people?
We just got a note from a lady in Georgetown said that they have seen an increase in panhandling now.
That's so, it.
Yeah. News Talk 590 WVLK, live with Lee. In the studio with me, we've got Steve Polston and Pam Brooks talking about the Panhandling Jobs Initiative. This is the van that goes around, picks these guys up, and gives them work related that the city provides. The dignity of work, which we all know is helpful for somebody who may not have a lot of, if you're in this position, the issue you guys deal with, I would imagine, is sort of self-respect. And now, you know, they have an opportunity to maybe start again, even if it's a small gesture. And really, that's all this is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is definitely a starting point. And I think it proves that most people would prefer an opportunity over a handout. And people have been very responsive toward it. It's, again, as we said, restoring some personal dignity through an honest day's work. I know myself. They were working out Leestown Road one day, which is the direction that I live, and I passed them in my travels, and it was amazing to see how hard they were working, and even just the relationships they had with one another. You could tell they were enjoying themselves. They were talking, they were laughing, but they were also working. And so it was just nice to see that these people were really taking advantage of the opportunity that was given to them. But Steve has seen it a little more up close and personal than I have, and can be a little more specific as to how this has changed people's lives.
Yeah, what's been the reaction, Steve, from some of the folks that you guys are helping?
Well, I can tell you that we pull up the mornings we make these runs right now, and it's 2 days a week. And for starters, we'll go up to five and then higher numbers of vans. But what the reaction that surprised me, I've been dealing with homeless 6 years. I'm the founder of New Life Homeless Day Center downtown, and I've had a lot of positives and negatives through those years. But the surprise to me was that over 90% of the people that we ask to get in the van and go to work take the offer, and they go and they work hard.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reaction. The reaction is that they go work, they feel better about themselves, they do things that the city needs done that's not now being done. We're not taking other jobs. It's work that is not currently being done. So it's kind of a triple win all the way around for the homeless, for the New Life Day Center, which that's our focus, and then for the city.
I was going to ask, that was my, you sort of answered it. Is this replacing someone else's occupation? But this is stuff that would not normally get done, I guess. And so it's utilitarian in the city for them to get it done by these means.
That's it. And that's the lesson we learned in Albuquerque. You don't take existing jobs. Mm-hmm. And we have stuck by that. We have we have copied what Albuquerque did. For starters, we'll start to improvise here. Lexington has some differences. We'll start to accommodate those differences. But right now, we're doing it like Albuquerque. And so we see the self-esteem improve of these people, and it's great to see.
What did you learn from Albuquerque? I mean, because they've been doing it for how long now?
They've been doing it. They're in their third year. And it's so such a it's caught on nationally to the point that we're the 14th city to try this, and so Albuquerque was the program there was invented by their mayor. Their mayor is Richard Berry. I wouldn't be surprised to see him a national political candidate or a senator from the state of New Mexico. He is a very very smart guy. And a very effective mayor. So he invented this. He's pushed it out. He helps everybody get started. He doesn't shrink back. There's no charge. He actually is aggressive in trying to get other cities to do this. So that's a success story. We're starting to see that success here. We can see the progress. We've got a long way to go. And I can still go out. I go out and count the panhandlers that are left on the street after we run. I still find them.
Yeah.
And so we hear from some of the public. They still find them. But we're going to keep broadening that and expanding that until it does make a permanent difference.
When you guys launched this initiative, were you sort of surprised by the reaction the public gave? I was. I mean, because there was a lot of folks when the mayor announced that, hey, here's what we're going to try to do in Lexington. On this show and many of the others that we have at WVLK, there was a lot of negativity at first. I think once we kind of figured out what it was, they calmed down. But did that surprise? Because, Steve, you know what the public's reaction is to the problem.
Yeah, my background is running nuclear plants, so I know a little bit about public reaction. So most of that's not positive, by the way.
Yeah.
But I was mildly surprised by the reaction, but I can see I went in a skeptic, and so I think that's where a lot of these people too. They
right.
went in a skeptic. They've got to see the progress, and until they see the progress, they're not going to be supportive. And I understand that. So it's our job to drive it forward, make progress. I know we're as good as Albuquerque, if not better. And they did it. We'll do it. And then people can make a balanced judgment. Right now, they don't have any evidence. But I do think people generally are telling me they think the number of panhandlers has gone down.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. And again, this is anecdotal, but it seems like. And I'm out probably more than anybody except for cab drivers. But I think the reaction was probably based upon, oh, this is a government handout is what this is. And they didn't understand what. No. First of all, if you want this hoss, go, set aside your dignity, stand on the side of the road, wait for a van to take you, and then go pick up trash. That's your idea of a handout. Welcome to it.
Right. And as you said, I think there was some lack of understanding overall among the public about what the specific intention of this initiative was. And one criticism that a lot of people have brought up is, I'm looking for a job or this person needs a job and so on. We really want to, it's our job to really drive home the message that this is not a general jobs program. This is a very specific initiative targeting the panhandling problem in Lexington. Mm-hmm. And again, as you said, an honest day's work out there working 5 hours, picking up trash or cutting weeds or whatever the job site, the designated job site of the day is, that's not easy. And so it is by no means a handout.
But something that, helps clean up the city, it's a good deal.
Absolutely.
Steve, next time I do one of these energy shows, I'm going to bring you over. You can represent nuclear for me.
Yeah, that'd be a way to get some calls in from the public there.
Yeah. But because I like a diverse energy portfolio and not just relying on one source. So I'll bring you in. We'll see if we get you to melt down. So like that pun there, Steve.
I love it. I love it when it's aimed at me.
Yeah, good. All right. Again, anything else that you guys should the public know? Is there a way they can help you guys? Or is there what are the plans for the future? Because, Steve, you said something interesting. You said, we're not exactly like Albuquerque. Well, how will we diverge from Albuquerque? What would we do different?
Well, we're going to do different. We're already doing it. We're starting to do it. We want to get people into not only these starter jobs that Pam talked about, we want to get them into permanent jobs. So that is a goal. We've had volunteers from Urban County Council, no less, that have volunteered to come down and help us with getting these people up the stair step into permanent jobs. The thing we're already doing, Lee, is we have a program at New Life Day Center, mm-hmm. Homeless Day Center, that we call Rent Deposit Assistance. And we started, I'm experimental. We experiment with a lot of projects. Some of them fail. A lot of them are roaring successes. Rent Deposit Assistance is a roaring success. We started out saying, what would happen to people? We have about 150 homeless a day off the street in New Life Day Center. What would happen if we offered them a free rent deposit? Mm-hmm. And we know that some of them have income, some of them work full-time, part-time, they have agency checks from Social Security, Veterans Administration, mental health. So we knew they had income, but it wasn't enough of them that had income that were getting off the street. So we said, what happens if we give them a free rent deposit? We started doing that, and in 11 months, we've had 150 people that off the street. About 85% of those has stayed off the street, mm-hmm. in housing. So what we want to do is link that vertically to panhandler jobs. We want about half the people in the panhandler job program to be regulars, to be repeat, and about half to be new all the time, so it gives everybody a chance. But in these repeats, the idea is that we will take them and link them with the free rent deposit and get them in housing off the street, not living on the street, not going to emergency shelters. So we've had our first two. We had our first two takers that were good workers. Mm-hmm. They look stable. We said, hey, if we give you a free rent deposit, will you agree to maintain that month-to-month rent and utilities? Can you do it? We investigated that. They can. So we've got our first two that takers in linking van jobs to living and housing off the street.
That's good, and that's the goal. So what is the percentage, guys, of people that end up in this situation that you're trying to pull out of this despair? I mean, would some of it be mental illness or incapacity? Is it drug abuse? Is it just hard times? How would you define that?
Well, we don't have many boundaries, but we enforce the ones we have. We don't take people on the job van that may not be settled mentally.
Yeah,
we don't do that because it has to be a peaceful exercise in the public, the public view and presence in the neighborhood. So we don't take people that have that problem. There's other ways to help them. We don't take someone who's high. We've got people on the van that know that. I know that. After 6 years, I know who's high and who's not, be it drugs or alcohol. So we take people that look stable, that look like they can work, look like they're willing to work. So that's the way we screen it, and that's our goal.
Well, if folks would like to learn more, again, if they're interested or curious, what do you recommend they do, guys?
Well, one thing right now that we're in the process of working on is I designed a flyer with Steve's guidance and so on. Our team worked together at the day center, and I designed a flyer with the intention that is going to be put into the hands of motorists. The city's working on getting that printed up, and the intention is that that's going to be given to motorists. We're going to work out a distribution plan, places that people can pick these up in local areas, and also establish an online link that people can print a copy if they're not out and about. But this is intended to be literature that the motorists keep in their vehicles, so that if they do see panhandlers, instead of giving a handout, they can give them this flyer. It talks about the Panhandling Jobs Initiative. It tells them where they can go, what the hours are, how they can make money. And so it gives them and gives the motorists an alternative to money to give to them. But it also is another way to inform the panhandlers, those who may not be aware of it, that there is a different opportunity and an alternative to standing on the street corner.
Okay, that's good. And when will that launch, you think? When will you get that ready?
Well,
I
haven't done this yet, and it's not all about Pam and I. We work hard, but there's others that work hard. I will credit the city. Mayor Gray, the Urban County Council, took this on. They got the money for these jobs. That's where it comes from. Mayor Gray has been very aggressive in this program. He's going to ride the van tomorrow. It will be his first time that he's actually gotten out and ridden the van. So that's how committed he is. Mm-hmm. And so I give him the due credit for that. I mean, he's been great to work for and with. The city, though, is about to launch a communication campaign. They have drafted a marketing campaign, a information campaign, and that's getting ready to come out. It'll be public service announcements. It'll be news releases. It'll be it'll be a whole mix of advertising, including putting signs on the street corners, advising the public, encouraging the public, if not pleading with the public, that the best use of their money is not to hand it out the window to someone that's shaking their cup, but to send it to the right place, to send it through United Way. That will come back to the jobs program. We can do more vans. We can do more jobs. So that information, intensive information program, is just ready to launch. And so this is a three-legged stool that we're working here. One is the jobs van. That's only a third or so of it. The other is the street signs that we're going to put out and as information to the public. And then lastly, not the highest priority in all this, but a priority, is a new law that will be implemented in
right.
July,
right.
And so that will help in this whole effort. Those three things: the law, the jobs van, and the information program.
Now, when we come back, guys, I've got questions. People have texted. Some of them are more statements than questions, but you're okay. Okay, now, in the studio with me, I've got Pam Brooks and Steve Polston from the Panhandling Jobs. And again, I've got some text messages that were sent my way, guys. I'll share some of them with you. Either one of you can answer, however you choose. Let's see here. Are taxes withheld from their pay is a question.
The taxes are a responsibility of the person, as in any job. We pay that. We pay them. We keep a record of that. We do a 1099 on them. Mm-hmm. And so then they have to pay the taxes. It's their responsibility, and it's not for us to cover the taxes.
Well, if you with the 1099, I mean, if it's not above 600, I think is the number, correct? You don't necessarily report that, do you?
Correct. At 600, that's where we start reporting, and that's where they have to pay taxes.
Okay. And then this person writes: does the city have to carry work and comp insurance on these employees?
We are the agent of the city. New Life Homeless Day Center. Mm-hmm. We do all that. We carry all the liability. We carry all the insurance. So anything that happens is not the responsibility of the city, but because we manage the program, we run the van, we do the work. It's New Life Homeless Day Center. We do it like we do all other everything else that we are involved in as a day center.
Yeah. This question went on to say, or if one of them gets hurt while working for the city, they're going to be able to hit the jackpot and sue the city. Jackpot. That's right.
Well, that's kind of a rhetoric. That sounds like a statement.
That's a statement. I think I'm going to be able to hit the jackpot. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Where's the next one? Oh, if money is sent to the United Way to help the homeless, how much money is kept by the United Way? And I bet that's a whole nother. But that is the way to help the program, as we mentioned before. And because listen, I don't know of anybody. At least I know for I shouldn't say anybody. I'll speak for myself. I have compassion for everybody I see out there. Normally, I want to help them in some way, but I know I'm not doing them any good if I enable them. So you guys are utilizing the United Way services because they're sort of already built for this, correct?
That's mm-hmm. correct, and it all comes to us. It all ends back up in the jobs program. And so we take every step we can, every measure we can, to make sure that someone is not jading the city or jading us. We've had one person that didn't work out of about 100. Mm-hmm. We let that person go that day and they never came back. So that money is best given to United Way, and it comes back to us. And the reason that's better, in my view, is in my experience, in my view, is from that experience, is that we're going to do other things with the people other than just keep them in the starter job. We want to take them to a more permanent type employment, and we want to get them in housing. We want to get them off the street, permanently off the street. We won't bat 1,000 at that, but we've already started, and I believe that we can gain a considerable ground by taking these people and not just keep them in this panhandler jobs van career step. It's not a career path. It's a starter job, as Pam said earlier. But we want to take them to a higher level of living and being a better citizen.
And we really want to drive home the message that the best way to help these people is to donate to the many wonderful programs that Lexington and Fayette County does have to help people. You know, as you said, it's difficult to fault someone for being caring and compassionate, and you appreciate those people who do have a heart to help others. But we really just want to drive home the message of the best way to help them, and that is by donating to the organizations in the area that will help them.
We had a guy in from the city the other day. You guys know who I'm talking about. I'll think of it in a minute. But he was talking about, you know, I mean, think about it. You hand somebody a dollar out that window or whatever it is you give them. Then that person goes and purchases some sort of illicit substance. And what we learned from federal prosecutors a couple of months ago with the invasion of fentanyl with heroin, these a lethal dose, by the way, is would fit between the nose and chin of Abe Lincoln on a penny. So if that's mixed in, and then this person, not understanding what they have purchased and injects or uses, they've just killed themselves. So you're not helping them. I mean, and again, people go, well, they could use that money for anything. Sure, they could. But if they're panhandling, they have put themselves in a situation normally that may not be what would be considered normal or average behavior. Why not give it to the, as you mentioned, Pam, to the people who are there to literally lift them up and try to help them get out of the situation as they find themselves?
Yes, absolutely. That's why it is so important to donate to these organizations who work so hard to deal with this sector of the population. There are so many programs like the New Life Homeless Day Center and other organizations who devote their time and attention to taking care of this population, and that's really the public's best way to help these people.
What do we pay these guys, Steve?
It's $9 an hour.
Yeah, because someone was asking, why aren't we paying them $10.10 like the city wanted to impose on small business?
Well, because Albuquerque paid them $9.
It worked.
So why, you know, we're not going to start out different. We'll become different, most likely, and that rate may go, it may be altered if it deserves to be. But one of the things back to our message to the public and the motorist is, if you hand money out the window, you may think you're feeding their stomach, but most likely right. You're feeding their habit.
Yeah.
And so what's different about this money is that we work with those people to change their life, to get them off the street, get them in a higher level employment, and get them into housing. That's the difference.
Now, I say I have compassion, but sometimes I get a little angry when I see a guy a lot younger than me, and he's got abs, and he looks like he could, you know, lift the truck if he needed to, and he's sitting there holding a sign. That, I get a little irritated with that.
Well, I guess you saw
that was
my...
That's a statement.
You saw my abs when I came in.
Yes, Steve, you look good, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
But we appreciate the public's feedback on this, and we don't expect everybody to just out the gate believe this is, you know, is going to work, but we expect to demonstrate that it will work. We know we're as good as those other cities in what in the way we approach things, so we're going to demonstrate that. We think we're that's started all underway. It's already underway. So we're the information campaign will provide the public with insight to this, and so if it's like me, if I don't have information, if I don't have the story, I make up my own. That's what we all do. Mm-hmm. So we're going to the city has taken a giant step to resolve the information vacuum and the lack of knowledge that people have.
Let me get to Tony, who is holding from Indianapolis. He's standing by. Hey, Tony, you're on Live with Lee. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
I was in Indianapolis last week. I spent 2 days downtown Indianapolis on Illinois Street and Meade Street, which is right downtown. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking to the – I work with engineers, and I was talking to the engineer. We're inspecting some buildings. But long story short, I noticed there was no people – nobody was begging. Nobody was asking for money. Nobody's asking for handouts. And I noticed two guys that were around the restaurant areas. They were getting handed food. And so I asked the guys that I'm working with there, and they said, no, we don't allow it. It just isn't allowed. Yeah. Indianapolis being the place where a lot of conventions and things happen and events and football games and all that, and Indy 500, it's just not allowed, period. We just don't – you can be given food, but you cannot be handed money. So you're not allowed to stand on the sidewalks or on the streets or anything.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, Tony. Keep in mind, there was a Supreme Court decision from Kentucky that came down, and when that happened – this thing exploded into a mushroom cloud where, you know, for whatever reason, the way they saw this is still inexplicable to me as a freedom of speech issue when it was actually soliciting. But nonetheless, so all of this happens. And as a result, it became prevalent. And I think our public, for the most part, uneducated, thought they were helping people until we started to really become a problem. And then the outrage developed. And then, of course, our government started doing something about it. And as Steve mentioned, there's a three-prong attack, the van being one of it, but the other one is the way the law is written now, because it is a traffic hazard. So essentially, you can't be standing there, so it will not be allowed eventually. We'll get to that part that's on the way. Am I wrong in any of that, Steve?
I think you're right in that it is that three-legged stool, I called it, a three-prong attack, and you have to do all three. I was visiting Indianapolis a couple of months ago. Wheeler, you might, I don't know if you're familiar with the downtown homeless services there or not, but Wheeler is an excellent facility for homeless. It's well run. We borrowed ideas from them. We benchmarked from them. I made the same observation you did about Indianapolis.
Yeah. Tony, I appreciate the phone call. Thank you, sir. And we mentioned a three-prong attack, so it's you, the law. What's the other side of it? I forgot.
The city information campaign.
Oh, that's right. And you guys are coming out with that here pretty soon, so yeah, we'll see more of that.
Yes.
News Talk 590 WVLK and 97.3 FM. Listen, I want to say thanks to our guests today, Pam Brooks and Steve Polston from Panhandling Jobs Initiative. These guys are giving us a little insight on what they're doing. It sounds positive. Hopefully you guys can keep us up to date with it. And I, again, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.